It's great to be here Memorial Day weekend, celebrating the weekend with you all. It's a holiday for Americans. Some get an extra day off for that holiday. Some do not. Some will be working over the holiday. But also, it's a time to remember loved ones that we have lost, especially those who served in the military. And it is significant that we remember the mighty works of those that we have lost. Loved ones and their mighty works. Today's scripture was chosen for that same reason. The psalmist is remembering God's mighty acts in the history of his people, like we are doing today. I remember the first time I read this psalm and I got an opportunity to study it closer. I had to study it and write about it in a seminary course that I was taking. First time I read through it, though, I just didn't think much about it. I don't know that it was all kind of clicking for me. But then I reread it, kind of researched it a little bit more, really looked into it. It's interesting. It's retelling the story of Moses and the Israelites, the Hebrew people passing through the Red Sea. But the psalmist wasn't there for that. Right? This psalmist isn't that old. He wasn't there when that happened. And so he is creating this memory of God leading the Israelites through the Red Sea to escape Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. Right? The way he's telling the story is not anything like how it's actually read in Exodus 14, in the original writing. The psalmist talks about lightning and thunder and a massive rainstorm. He refers to the winds blowing almost like tornadoes and the earth trembling almost like there was an earthquake happening. And he's retelling the ancient story of God saving his people with almost vivid new detail that wasn't described in the Exodus story. But this story, it is so important to the identity of every Jewish person. Because it's a story of how God saved their people from being completely wiped off the face of the earth by the Egyptians. If God had not intervened, if he had not sent them through the sea, then surely they would have all died. It was the very moment when their entire race was spared. Once I learned about Psalm 77 and I realized the significance of that moment of how God saved his people by taking them through the sea, my eyes were opened to something else. Their Memorial Day story, if you will, doesn't just show up one more time in Psalm 77. It shows up again in Joshua 2 and Joshua 4 and Psalm 33 and 66 and 77 and 78 and 106 and 114 and 136 and Isaiah 51 and Numbers 33. And then if we go into the New Testament, we'll see it again in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11, this retelling of the story. Suddenly we see that this moment shows up within the scriptures again and again and again. And I would say it is one of the top defining moments in Jewish history. The Hebrew people finally mustered the courage to go with Moses, to leave a life of slavery behind, to leave Egypt behind. But on their way, Pharaoh changes his mind about releasing them. And he pursues them with his army to wipe them out. The Hebrew people, they're defenseless, stuck between a great sea, stuck between the Egyptian army. And in last week's sermon, I talked about the importance of believing that God fights for us. Right? God fights for us, which is exactly what he did for the Hebrew people in that moment. He fought for them, and he saved them. Now, if the psalmist's remembrance of that day was not fresh, was not new enough, then there's the Apostle Paul's understanding of what happened that day. There's his retelling of the story. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4 was one of the passages I talked about earlier. There, the Apostle Paul says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food and they drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." In the United Methodist Church, we have something that we call sacraments. And other denominations, other groups have sacraments. Sacraments are those special ceremonies that impart God's grace to His church. We have two sacraments. Our sacraments are baptism and communion. Baptism and communion. In our denomination, like many, once again, sacraments are performed by the pastor or the minister or the priest. In Paul's recalling of the through the sea story, he just happens to reference both of our sacraments. He refers to their passing through the sea or passing through the waters as a baptism of such. But as we are baptized into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says they were baptized into Moses, is how Paul retells it. And in many ways, both Jews and Christians alike have passed through the waters. Every Jewish person remembers God's one act of bringing the Hebrews through the waters to save their entire race. Every Christian person can remember their baptism when they were brought through the waters as a sign of God's salvation to them. Now, some of us were baptized as infants. And so you recall the baptism in the same way that the psalmist or the apostle Paul remembers their salvation moment, right? You imagine what that must have been like. You imagine the pastor holding you and taking the water and placing it on your head and your parents there, you know, in that moment. At the end of the sermon, you're going to have a rare opportunity within the United Methodist Church. Every once in a while, we do something called Remember Your Baptism. This is not another baptism. This is not a second baptism, but it is an opportunity for you to hear the vows that you or your parents professed and to feel the baptism waters on your skin again. It's an opportunity to imagine that moment when God brought you through the water. And if you haven't been baptized yet, you haven't made that decision, then today might be a good day to talk to me about making that decision of becoming a baptized member of the church. Now, before we remember our baptism together, I want you to know that Moses' baptism or movement through the waters is similar to Christian baptism in three ways. There's three similarities. First, baptism happens by God's power and initiative for His people. Which is obvious in the story of Moses in the Red Sea, isn't it? And in the psalmist version, you get this sense. This is what I love about the retelling of the story. In the way that the psalmist tells it, you get a sense that God was literally present with His people as they crossed the Red Sea. Like He was there. The scripture says this, says, "The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed or swirled like they were moving away from His awesome power. You did it, God. You opened up the seas with Your own hands," right? There's the mention of God's hands. "Though Your footprints weren't seen, You walked through the waters ahead of Your people." God walking with them, right? In the same way, our baptism is a reminder of God's initiative to save us from our sin. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter, he compares the waters that Noah traveled through to the waters of baptism. Yet another Old Testament, New Testament connection being shared. In 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, "And this water, it symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God." How important a clear conscience towards God is, right? Baptism is the sign and reminder that God has forgiven you. More importantly, that God loves you. So that in this life, in the next life, you can approach God with great confidence because of what He did for you by His power and His initiative and His great love for you. The second thing, God in our baptism is saving us from destruction. With Moses in the Red Sea, this is, once again, it's easy. It's obvious to understand. Had God not brought them through the water, the Egyptians would have killed them. Or they probably would have drowned in the sea trying to swim away. There would be no Jewish people, and consequentially, there would be no Christian people, since Jesus was a Jewish person. God saved them from literal destruction. In baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, is the wording and the verbiage that we use. And so through teaching and loving community, we are taught a way to live. We've all been taught a way to live. And there is a way to live your life that, as you know, will lead you to destruction. And there's a way to live your life that's going to lead you to joy and abundance. Not that your baptism like guarantees that you're going to make all the right choices, because we know that's not true, right? Just because you were baptized doesn't mean poof, you know, you make all the right choices. But what it does is it does afford you an opportunity to live in scriptural community with a group of people who are giving it their best shot. Isn't that what we're doing most days? Aren't we giving it our best shot? Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Church, baptism is the gate to life and away from this destruction. It's the entry point. Because beyond that gate is a path. That's our teaching. That's the church's teaching. There's this path to live. And we tend to experience, in different times, we've maybe experienced this. We've been on the path and we veered off of the path. Right? We got off the path. And we tended to experience consequences when we get off the path. A taste of destruction, if you will, of what is to come. We've seen it in other people's lives, people we love. But because of Jesus and the church, we, listen to me, we always have an opportunity to get back on the path, to find our way back to the path. When you remember your baptism later, remember that. Remember that. The waters were meant to keep you from destruction, and to always remind you that you were initiated into the church. You were initiated into this community. In your life, turn from destruction and choose the pathway that's going to lead you to life. The last thing is this. The last thing. In our baptism, God is leading His people out of slavery and into a promised land. The Hebrew people have been slaves in Egypt for around 400 years. The United States has been a nation for less than 250 years. The Hebrew race had been slaves to the Egyptians for nearly double the amount of time we have been the United States of America. They had become used to being slaves. They had become complacent, you might say, to this type of life. And the Exodus story, it doesn't make it sound like they were trying to do anything about it. The Exodus story doesn't make it sound like they were tired of it and they were raising up to leave. it would appear in the Exodus story that God wanted to lead his people out of slavery and into their own land, a promised land, a land of milk and honey or abundance, a land of abundance. God wanted better things for them, a better life for them. He wanted freedom for them more than they wanted it for themselves. And my friends, the same is true for you through your baptism in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 5, and 6, Paul says it this way. He says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, right? Just like the Hebrew people, powerless between Pharaoh's army and between the sea. See, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Baptism is the sign of God's covenant and love with us as Christian people. And when we remember our baptism, we remember that Christ did it for us. He did it for us. Our promised land is eternal life. Heaven, if you will. We talk about heaven. That's our promised land. In this life, we are taught the way of Christ that is meant to hopefully keep us from lives of destruction. In the next life, we are promised this new life with God. We are promised freedom from suffering and pain and sadness. New heavenly bodies. You know, today you have a special opportunity to remember our way through the waters. Remember that long before there was a Christian baptism, that God brought the Hebrew people through the waters too, right? Remember that it is by God's power and initiative that we have been forgiven, that he has sought us out. The baptism is the reminder that God saved us from destruction, that he initiated us into the loving instruction of his church. And not only that, but that he has promised that we will be children in heaven. We will be his children in eternal life. Now, I don't normally do this, but for those of you who are online, addressing those who are watching online today, you can participate in what we're about to do as well. You have this opportunity. You can pause me if you like. You can, right? Don't you all wish you could do that at times? Just kind of pause them. I'm going to get a donut. I'll be right back. Okay, go ahead, Jim, right? Well, you all watching can. You can pause me. You can get up. You can go get a cup of water. You can give thanks for that water. And in a little bit, when we participate in this remembrance of baptism, you can place your finger, your thumb in that water, make the sign of the cross on your hand, and participate with us. Now, again, in the United Methodist Church, remember, your remembrance of your baptism, as we're about to do, this is not a sacramental act of worship, a remembering of your baptism. So those of you at home can participate in this way. For those of us at church this morning who aren't able to pause me, after my prayer, I'll say the faith vows that you either said or that we said, and you can hear those faith vows again that you made, and then you're going to be welcome to stand up and to come down the center aisle, and then you can place your hand on the baptismal font that's in the middle. Marcia and I will dip our finger in the water, place the sign of the cross upon your hand, and we will say to you, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. If you would like, you can stop on your way back to the kneeling rails, and you can have some time in prayer this morning, giving thanks to God for all these things. And then if you'll continue back around the outside, you can go back to your pew. Now, once again, if you haven't been baptized, if you're here and you haven't been baptized today, this is a great opportunity. This is kind of like try it before you buy it. right? Just like try it before you buy it. It's not, once again, this is not a sacrament. If you would like to come forward, if you would like to participate in this way, you can. If you would like to say to one of us, Pastor Jim, Pastor Marcia, I've never been baptized, and I'd like to make that decision, talk more about that, then we'll make it a point this week to meet with you and to talk about that. And if you haven't been baptized, you just want to stay seated, stay where you're at, you're welcome to do that as well. But either way, baptism is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity, and this is a great morning to consider the importance of your baptism. Let's pray together before we enter into this. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for today, and we thank you for this opportunity to remember our baptism, because in our baptism, you did something powerful and wonderful, and it's a great reminder to us in the church that you have been doing great and powerful things long before your son was appointed as the head of our church, that you were doing great and wonderful things for the Hebrew people in your deliverance of them as you brought them through the waters by your power. Lord, may your presence be as real in this moment with us than it was taking the Israelite people through the Red Sea. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I'll invite Marcia up here. Stay seated for just one more second. If you were getting baptized, if we had a child with us this morning, that child was getting baptized, we have these faith vows that we read, and we typically ask the parents or the individual to just say to these faith vows, I do. And so I'm going to read these three faith vows and just let you remember the vows that you made or that were made on your behalf as a child. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?